The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to That's a Laugh. I'm Jennifer Green with the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Thank you for joining me for the next half hour of funny stories, quotes, and other anecdotes that we hope will add a few chuckles to your day. Well, my dear listeners, we are into the spring season, speeding towards summer. You know what that means. Lots of hot, sunny, humid days where all of your New Year's resolutions come back to bite you in the rear. Did your diet become any healthier? Has your level of exercise risen at all? Did your reading and other leisure time actually include more productive topics and activities on a regular basis? Yeah, mine really didn't either. Not to worry. Today's episode is all about persevering and achieving our most desired goals. Sorry, all of you hardcore 7 Habits and Influencing People fans. We are not going to hear professional development insights from Stephen Covey, Dale Carnegie, and the like. You know how we roll here on TAL. Our great teachings today are from highly comedic authors, Lily Singh and Whoopi Goldberg, with a few humorous quotes thrown in for good measure. We'll start off with these words found on everydaypowerblog.org from Eugene Bell, Jr. Aspire to inspire before we expire. Seem a little easier said than done? Well, because we are highly motivated people, mostly, we will start with some butt-kicking from Lily Singh, a multifaceted entertainer. Let's dive into the introduction to her book, How to Be a Boss, A Guide to Conquering Life, published in 2017. Holy crap, I wrote a book. Wait, let me back up here. Hi, my name is Lily. And holy crap, I wrote a book. If you're reading this, I'm assuming it's for one of 3 reasons. 1, you are familiar with my YouTube videos and also know me as Superwoman. If so, thanks for supporting me outside of the digital space and allowing me to come through your screen and into your home like that terrifying lady from The Ring. Come to think of it, we have similar hair, so I apologize in advance for that terribly accurate comparison. 7 days. JK, I'm chill. 2, you're a parent and found this in your child's bedroom and you're curious. You're also nosy and want to ensure that this book isn't filled with filth that will corrupt your baby's brain. Hi there. I can assure you that this book is family-friendly with a healthy hint of sass. My goal is to inspire your baby to work hard and achieve great things. You should definitely buy 3 more copies and plant them around the house. 3, you have no idea who I am, or you've vaguely heard of me. That's completely fine. Maybe you're a total stranger who just wants to know how to be a boss, or maybe you're looking to add some diversity into your life. Regardless of how you got here, I'm so glad you did. Thank you for spending your valuable time and hard-earned money on this book. For those of you who aren't familiar with me, I'm best known for creating uplifting comedic videos on YouTube, amongst other things. I'm the holder of a psychology degree, an activist for gender equality, an occasional rapper, a sister, a unicorn, and now an author. The last few years of my life have been pretty crazy. I've done everything from kissing Seth Rogen while dressed up as my mom, to having my face plastered across Times Square, to helping send girls in Kenya to school. I always knew I wanted to write a book, but I wanted to wait until I felt I truly had something to say. I'm not that old or wise, so this is not a memoir. Instead, this book is an accumulation of lessons I've learned that I want to share with you. They are the things that have made me a boss. What's a boss, you ask? Great question. A boss is like a boss, but so epic that I had to change the spelling. unlike a boss, B-O-S-S, who is defined as such only within the workplace, a boss, B-A-W-S-E, is someone who excels in both personal and professional settings. A boss exudes confidence, turns heads, gets hurt efficiently, communicates effectively, and hustles relentlessly. My hope is that this book will unleash your inner boss and give you the tools necessary to not only survive life, but to conquer it. I'm not an expert, and I'm not claiming to be one. However, I've had some truly unique experiences that have taught me valuable lessons. I'm writing this book for the same reason I started making YouTube videos, because I want to be a positive light in this world. This book isn't merchandise or a checkmark on my to-do list. It's so much more than that. When I was going through my darkest days, the smallest thing could flip a switch in my brain and change my day from horrible to not so bad. You have dreams and goals you want to achieve. We all do. Maybe you're already on a steady path to success, or maybe you're struggling to make ends meet. Either way, I want this book to flip that switch. I want you to accomplish everything you ever wanted in life, and I truly believe you can. But it won't be easy. Being a boss is hard work. It requires an unfathomable amount of dedication and hustle. The following pages do not contain tricks, quick tips, or get-rich-quick schemes. I'm not going to tell you about any shortcuts or good luck charms. Instead, I am going to make your work ethic sweat, your mind expand, your fear dissolve, and your obstacles crumble. If you're ready to conquer your life, turn the page. It's time to be a boss. I'm rooting for you with all my heart. Lily S. Rules for reading this book. 1. Like most rules, every rule in this book has an exception. In fact, don't even think of these chapters as rules. Think of them as guidelines. Don't look for the unique scenario that disproves my point. In other words, don't be that annoying person in the YouTube comments section who has to be a Debbie Downer. If I say, smile, don't yell, but what if someone got paralyzed in a bungee jumping accident and fractured their jaw and doesn't have the ability to smile anymore, Lily? Don't focus on finding the loopholes, but instead use that energy and focus on what you can learn. Also, if you got into a bungee jumping accident and only fractured your jaw, you have a lot to smile about. 2. Before you read this book, I need you to lay down your defense mechanisms. Take them off and put them away. I'm going to call you out and tell you you're slacking. I'm going to shine a spotlight on issues that make you uncomfortable and that you want to avoid. There's no room for excuses, justifications, or pity parties. Read the chapters with an open mind and resist the urge to get offended or defensive. 3. This book has a lot of information in it. I know that because it took me 50 years, an estimation, to write. Don't feel bad if you forget things. In fact, I encourage you to read chapters over and over again, because becoming a boss is a process that doesn't happen overnight. Take notes, rip out pages and plaster them to your wall. Do whatever you need to do to retain these guidelines. 4. In a lot of the chapters, I talk about how I apply each boss rule to my life. If you can't relate to these specific scenarios, that's completely fine and understandable. The goal is to understand the general principle and adapt it to your situation. I'm providing you with a framework. It's up to you to tweak it. 5. Don't get mad at yourself or feel discouraged. This book is an opportunity to call yourself out, grow, make mistakes, and become better. Reading this book should be viewed as a journey towards something positive, not an exercise in judgment and criticism. All right, here we go! Start stretching. It's about to get real. Cue Rocky theme song. Are you ready? Please proceed to beat your chest with determination. This is the moment. Would be great if you could clench your fists in preparation. The time is now. Initiate heavy breathing. Bonus points if you squint. 3. Maybe jump a little. 2. Roaring noises are encouraged. 1. Here we go. It's time to be a boss. Feeling pumped? Yeah, me too. Anyone will tell you that one of the first steps to achieving success is getting your mind into the right frame of, well, mind. Lily helps us do this with Chapter 2, Conquer Your Thoughts. Touch your nose. No, I'm serious. I want you to stop reading after this sentence and don't resume until you take your right hand and use it to touch the tip of your nose. Do it. Look at you! What an impressive piece of machinery you are. Do you know what you just did? You were introduced to a thought and decided to act on it. Your brain sent signals using neurotransmitters through neurons across your body and into your arm, prompting it to move and touch your magnificent nose. Why did I just make you touch your nose? Because I'm Simon and I run this town. No, but really, it was to show you that you control your mind. Your mind doesn't control you. You successfully directed your brain to touch your nose. Understanding your mind's power is key to being a boss. Imagine using that same type of direction to instruct your mind to stop being negative or jealous or terrified. We often feel that we are slaves to biology. People say things like, I just can't help but feel that way, or I can't control being jealous. But I believe that, in most situations, we can teach our minds to function with more positivity and efficiency. In other words, by understanding that mushy sponge in our skulls, we can conquer our thoughts. What does conquering your thoughts mean? First, it means you get to wear an awesome warrior costume, so congrats on that victory. Hashtag OOTD. Also, it means understanding why you feel the way you feel, what prompts you to carry out certain actions, what causes specific reactions, and what circumstances lead you to make regrettable decisions. Once you discover all the ins and outs of your mind, you basically have the cheat code to your game of life. All you have to do is input the data, and you have access to extra mental weapons, stronger protection, and new passageways. Notice I said your game of life and not the game of life. That's because everyone's mind is different. The cheat codes you discover for your mind cannot be applied to all of humanity. I'm not encouraging you to study the biology of the brain. It is fascinating, but also, who has that much time? I'm encouraging you to study your specific psychological makeup. Conquering your thoughts is not a task that can be accomplished overnight, or over many nights, to be honest. It's an ongoing process that requires frequent readjustment because your mind is constantly evolving. It requires you to ask yourself a lot of questions and to analyze the answers honestly. From now on, start asking yourself why you feel a certain way, what made you perform a certain action, and how you could do things differently. The information you discover is powerful because it helps you to discover patterns and in turn use your mind productively and efficiently. After all, your mind is your most powerful tool, but it's not useful if you don't know how to use it. It's like trying to fix a printer with a stapler. It doesn't work. Trust me, I've tried. The key is to use a hammer because all printers suck. Part of conquering your thoughts is keeping a check on your FOMO. Lily explains FOMO and tips on how to win against it in Chapter 14, Let go of FOMO. If I had a dollar for every time I was tempted to hang out with my friends instead of doing work, I'd have a yacht made of gold. In fact, I'd be so rich that my yacht would have a yacht for when it wants to take a break. That's right. I'd be so rich that my yacht would be a human with needs. Hashtag yacht goals. The point is, I get it, and I've been there. You have work to do, and your friends are all going out, about to have the time of their lives. You'll be at your desk reviewing documents, and they'll probably be out winning the lottery and taking cute pictures with perfect lighting. To be honest, they'll probably run into Katy Perry and do fireworks together. Or at least, that's what your brain is convincing you will happen. Do you hear that? It's FOMO knocking on your door. For all of you unhip elderly folk who don't know what FOMO is, get with the times. In other words, Google it like I did and pretend you knew the meaning all along. Duh! FOMO is the fear of missing out, and it's a crucial obstacle to overcome on the road to success. FOMO is not only strong enough to encourage you to stop working, but also sly enough to convince you that you've got your priorities all wrong. It's that voice that says, "You're going to miss out on school for a good grade? That's stupid. School is a ridiculous institution. Maybe you shouldn't believe in the system." Yeah, F the system. The next thing you know, you're wearing a tie-dye shirt and using words like rad, all because you wanted to go to the movies instead of write an essay. Temptations to slack off will always be there, and that will never change. What has to change is your ability to deal with temptation. To be successful, you need to be able to look FOMO in the eyes and say no. In response, FOMO will stand there, pout, and throw a temper tantrum, but you have to be strong and hold your ground. The only way to overcome FOMO is to recognize that the joy of accomplishing goals is much greater than the disappointment of missing out on a little fun. Parties are fun in the short term, but fulfilling your goals will bring you greater happiness in the long term. Also, there's probably a line to use the bathroom at the party, and who the hell wants to hold in their pee only to hover over a disgusting toilet seat? F that. You'd rather get some work done. Plus, no one can hold the hover for that long. Let's be real. If we're honest, though, that's easy to say and hard to do. I know this because I had my biggest battle with FOMO in quite a surreal setting. Let me paint you a picture. Midway through my world tour, YouTube flew my dancers and me out to LA so I could continue working on my show and work on their marketing campaign at the same time. 11 of my friends and I stayed in a Hollywood Hills mansion, stocked with junk food, alcohol, a pool table, and a shuffleboard court, along with a stunning view. It was like a reality show, except with values and morals. The YouTube campaign was one that would put my face on billboards, streetcars, taxicabs, and bus shelters, even in Times Square. New York! I had been waiting ages to be selected for this, especially since the deal had fallen through the year before. Needless to say, I was excited about this accomplishment, and my panties were in several knots. The campaign required a few days of shooting, during which I had to get up at ungodly hours in the morning. Apparently, there's a time called 6 o'clock a.m. Riding the high of my excitement and gratitude, I was happy to sacrifice my love of sleep. That is, until... 'Twas the night before shooting, and all through the house, vodka and soda were stirring, mixed drinks to the mouth. My friends all having fun, that's what I could hear. Music blasting, girls laughing, the sound of their cheers. I was still awake, all stressed in my bed, as visions of FOMO danced in my head. okay, I have to stop there because I don't actually know the rest of that poem. I think Santa eventually shows up, but honestly, it could be a cliffhanger where the kids are actually Jewish and Santa is a lie. Anyway, there I was, lying in bed at 10 o'clock p.m., trying to be responsible and resting for my 6 o'clock a.m. wake-up call, and all I could hear were the sounds of pure joy below me. It sounded like my friends were having the best night of their entire lives. Music, dancing, jokes, maybe even a bear. I'm not sure. OMG. If Winnie the Pooh is here partying with them, this one time I have to go to sleep early, I'm going to be so pissed. In the moment, my brain was convincing me that this party was the be-all and end-all of all parties, and that my decision to go to sleep early was preposterous. I remember lying there, reevaluating my entire life, and thinking, is this the type of career you want? You're missing this once-in-a-lifetime fun for work, and probably your only chance of ever meeting Winnie? I had two options. One, rip off my blanket, speed down the stairs doing the running man, and grab two beers to catch up. Or two, shut up, close my eyes, and go to sleep so I could perform well the next day. I'm proud to say I chose the latter. But it wasn't easy. I put a pillow over my face and forced myself to go to sleep while envisioning myself on a billboard in Times Square. My FOMO was conquered for one night, but I still had two nights to go. FOMO is like that annoying computer update that you ignore, but it comes back the next night, trying to get your attention all over again. It's a constant test, and it's one every boss needs to learn how to pass. How? Train your brain to pay attention to the rewards you receive when hustle beats FOMO on the battlefield. Fast forward 6 months, and I'm standing in Times Square with my family, taking pictures in front of my billboard. My face is painted on the side of a building in Manhattan. A bus just passed by, and my goofy grin is plastered all over it. Do you think for even a second that I stood there in New York City watching tourists take pictures with my face as a backdrop and thought, damn, I wish I didn't miss that one little party that one night? No. The answer is no. When it comes to success and perseverance, we want to make sure others hear our terribly insightful and exceedingly wise words. In the age of pervasive digital technology, it is virtually impossible to make others pay attention to us. Or is it? Comedic icon Whoopi Goldberg has a clever suggestion on how to deal with those who drift away during conversations. From her book, Is It Just Me or Is It Nuts Out There?, published in 2010, Chapter 71. May I have your attention, please? Please? Have you tried to have a conversation with anyone these days and just end up feeling like you only have half their attention? It can happen when you're face to face with someone, like at dinner when they keep doing that damn BlackBerry check. But know what drives me batty? When you're on the phone and you get those long gaps that make you think that the other person is not focused on you. They can't see you when you are talking with them, and so the temptation is simply too hard to resist when the computer, or the BlackBerry, or the iPhone, or the iPad is calling out to them. Hey, baby, come on and check me. You know you want to. Someone might be inviting you to a party. Maybe there's news about that job you want. Come on, aren't you just dying to check the tweets to see what color underwear John Mayer says he's wearing today? And then the device takes hold of them. But the person on the other end is powerless because they don't know what this other person is doing. Because they're certainly not conversing. which is what they should be doing if somebody calls them up and they answer. Some telltale signs are the neutral uh-huhs, which sound a lot like, yes, dear. But even worse are the long gaps and clickety-click of the keyboard you hear in the background from the person you thought was actually listening to you, while you poured your heart out about the life-changing experience you had upon visiting the sick relative in the ICU who finally forgave you for joyriding in his car when you were 15. Hello? Click, click, click. Tappity, tappity, tap. Uh-huh. Right. Click, click. While the phone mute button is sometimes necessary, that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the unnecessary times. Times when you're talking along and when you pause, you hear a silence so dead it could be the atmosphere on Jupiter. And then a soft click and a rush of sound from the person you thought you were chatting with. Know what they did? They muted their phone so that they could talk with someone else in the room or the office and didn't tell you. Maybe it's only for a few seconds, but still. Know what you can do about this? Want to have some fun? All right, next time it happens and you know the other person was away, multitasking or chatting up somebody who walked in the room, here's what you do. When they finally do return to the line, pretending they didn't leave, say this. Good then, I'll just send the bill to you. Then sit back and listen to them squirm. And while they try to figure out how to find out what the hell you were talking about, you can relax and enjoy their discomfort. Maybe even check your email. We've reached the end of today's show, so before I sign off, I'll leave you with these words, also found on everydaypowerblog.org, from actress and comedian Lily Tomlin. I always wanted to be somebody, but now I realize I should have been more specific. I'm Jennifer Green with the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Join me again next month for That's a Laugh. I'll be back on the fourth Tuesday of every month, and I hope you'll listen again next time. And remember, you can now listen to TRRS on Amazon Echo. Simply say, Alexa, play Triangle Radio Reading Service, and you will hear broadcasts instantly. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. Just click on the podcast link under the listen bar at the top of the homepage. Are you enjoying the show? Do you have any amusing quotes or anecdotes you'd like to share? We'd love to hear from you. Let us know. Please do call us with any questions, requests, or other comments about this or any of our other TRRS programs at 919-832-5138. That number, one more time, is 919-832-5138.